Blog Talk Radio.
Are you due for a relationship makeover? If you had the power to wave a magic wand, would you use it to improve your relationship? Well, there may be some hope. You're about to embark upon a journey. A journey that may prove to be vital in improving your relationship, whether it be with your spouse, significant other, children, co-worker, family, friends, or even yourself. A journey that if you simply open your mind to desiring a positive change in your relationship by listening to this show, it just might happen. You're about to take a journey into the Dr. Jesse Walker Show. Warning, warning. The show can be contagious.
Hello and welcome to this edition of your one-hour inspirational program. I'm your host. I'm Dr. Jesse Walker. I'm going to be with you for the next 60 minutes. We're so glad that you've taken time to tune in to our programming this evening, and we certainly look forward to bringing you a wonderful show tonight. We're going to be bringing some of our co-hosts in momentarily, and I just want to reiterate what our topic is tonight. And that is, why does God have us wait, or does he? And you will definitely want to tune in to this here to find out if you think God is having you wait. Is it God's fault, which I doubt very seriously. We'll put that out there early enough. Or what is happening? So we're going to have our co-host that will be joining us momentarily. And I want you to be thinking about tonight's topic. Last time you thought about, did God have you waiting for something? And we know that people say, well, when we ask God for things, are we asking him, does he say yes, no? And sometimes people say, wait, but he doesn't say maybe, because God is all-knowing. So he knows if he's going to do something or not. He already knows whether he's going to do something or not. And then if we don't have our way, perhaps, we have to realize that it works out for our best good, that we just don't get it. And then sometimes we don't do our part. So we're going to be talking about that tonight. But let's go ahead and start welcoming some of our co-hosts. Let's go ahead and begin with Daring Didi. Daring Didi, good evening and welcome to tonight's broadcast. It's a pleasure to have you on board with us.
Thank you and good evening to everyone.
Okay, excellent. We're going to ask you to stand by. Great. We're going to ask you to stand by. Let's go to, I want to say this is Lady C. I don't think it's Lady C. 904-226. 904-226.
Hello, this is Poet Rosette.
Oh, Poet Rosette. Okay. Poet Rosette, thank you for joining us this evening. We're so happy that you took time out of your busy schedule to also join us. Poet Rosette, I'm going to ask, if you don't mind, saying a prayer to invite God into our programming tonight, because it is our spiritual show, if you don't mind.
Okay, I will. Creator God, Heavenly Father, we want to thank you so much for this evening. I pray, Lord, that your Holy Spirit will pray with us and for us, and bless us with insight, Lord, about waiting on you. We want to thank you what we will learn during the program. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you for that. Let me begin by starting out and asking this question here. And that question is, and Poet Rosette, I want to start with you. Let's throw it out there. First of all, and before we can say, why does God have us wait, I want to ask a question. Does God, in your opinion, does God have us wait? Does he have us wait for something that we may want?
Yeah, I feel that God does have us wait. And sometimes for the best things. I mean, it even takes 9 months for us to be pregnant to have a baby. And, you know, the Lord said that, you know, a child is a gift from God. So there's a waiting period, though. And so, some things, yes, you have to wait on it.
Okay, so, all right. And other things, can we go forward with it if we're asking God for it? Can we go ahead of God?
I feel that we can, and then I think that's how we mess up sometimes because we lean on our own understanding, and we know that God knows all things, so sometimes we do go ahead if we're not talking enough with the Lord, and then we can mess up like that. So, yeah, I think.
All right, we're going to ask you to stand by. So, Darren Didi, I want to bring you in here and ask you this question. Then, if we don't get what we want and we pray for it, is it God's fault in your opinion? Or is it something else that we perhaps didn't do that we should have done?
You can look at it many different ways, but I believe he has you wait in due time. You're not ready for some things to handle, and then you got to be also. You've heard, be careful what you pray for; you might get it. You know, so I listen to him, and I just go with as he moves me in, through my life, and it doesn't disappoint me that I don't get what I'm asking for. But I've learned I've gotten so much more by praying for others.
Very interesting. Very interesting. We're going to ask you to stand by. Let's bring in Go Girl. Go Girl, thanks for your patience and welcome to tonight's programming.
Good evening. Happy to be here and looking forward to just having a great discussion. I love the topic.
Okay. All right. So do you think God has us waiting for stuff? Does he really have us wait?
I believe God does. And that's because in his infinite wisdom, he knows what we best need. And especially if we're praying for it or we have that relationship with him daily, we as people need to learn to trust God. And that's where our anxiousness or our behavior starts to kind of linger away from trusting his decisions, and sometimes we don't even know whether it is his decision because we are so engulfed in our own thoughts of what we want and what we should have. But I do believe if you are a sincere individual, even if it's not, if you're praying for something, God will delay to give you what you want, and not in a sense of punishment. He just knows that this is not the right time or this is not the right place or person for you.
Okay, all right. So, but did God really, girl, while I've got you here, did God really promise us that we would dwell in the land of milk and honey? Did he really promise us that?
He promises that we will dwell in that place in heaven and in the new earth. Here on earth, we might have some milk and we might have some honey, but he did not tell us that we would dwell among the sin that's in this world in a way that when we look at the terms milk and honey, no, I don't believe so. It doesn't mean that we're supposed to be living with things that we should not have or be fulfilled with, but it will never be as it will be in the new earth.
All right, we're going to ask you to stand by. For Rosetta, I want to bring you in here. So, I mean, if you, like my lifestyle, I grew up in the project where it was very poor, but everybody in the neighborhood, we got a common denominator, everybody was poor. We were on government assistance, so but we enjoyed life. So I knew that when I grew up, I didn't want to live that kind of life where it was a poor lifestyle because we were always liking, L-A-C-K. We were always liking and stuff. We didn't have things. And that wasn't very good. And it's almost like the people who have more money, they have a better lifestyle. So, Port Rosette, I want to ask you here, growing up in the projects, was that having growing up in a poor lifestyle? I mean, I wanted to be out of that lifestyle as a kid. So that was my prayer, God help us to get out of the projects. Well, later in life it happened, but waiting for years, is that God's fault or was that my parents' fault?
It could be a combination, but isn't it sweet now? I mean, sweeter that you've experienced that and then you know what it was like, but then you know what it's like now to have more. I mean, I guess, you know, God has given you the desire of your heart, but it's like it's taken some time, and so I think you appreciate it more, right?
I don't know if I had gotten it back then as a kid. I mean, you know, you're wearing one pair of shoes, you know, and for the whole school year, and you got a hole in those shoes, and you got to put a piece of cardboard in there because your parents couldn't afford a new pair of shoes. So so when you're looking at these other kids, and you talk about peer pressure, when you're looking at them, they're well-dressed, and we didn't wear uniforms at that time. They're well-dressed. And it's like, you know, you gotta, you know, you're praying, please don't let it rain, because if my shoes get wet, I mean, I'm out of gas anyway because it's coming through to my socks. So I don't know. I don't know if I would have appreciated. I certainly appreciate where I am now. But what about the people who are in the projects now, Port Rosette, who are also praying, you know, did God promise them that they got, do they have to wait 30, 40 years before their day comes?
No, you know what? I feel that whatever they really need, God is going to provide it. And so even now, even being in the project, if they really pray to God about stuff that they need, somebody can even come by and bring something that they need, or it could be provided in some way that they haven't even thought of, you know, because that's just how God is. You know, he will answer your, you know, your cries or your prayers to him. And I don't feel like he wants people to suffer the way that they do a lot of times, you know, like you said, circumstances or sometimes even generational problems. And it could be because of the system that people live in. And, you know, how their family started out is why, you know, there wasn't, like, wealth passed on. But God, you know, God still provided, even though, you know, it may have been little at the time. You know, I know you probably can look back and still see that there was provision in some way. And so, you know, yeah, so... So, you know, it gets better if, you know, if you just hang in there and stay with the Lord, it, for sure, he will provide.
All right, we're going to ask you to stand by. If you're just joining us, tonight's topic is why does God have us wait, or does he? Darren Didi, I want to bring you back in now. And we have several scenarios that we're going to present tonight. And, Darren Didi, we're giving you the first one here.
And that is...
Can you hear us?
You're breaking up.
Yeah, we're picking up an echo for some reason on your end. How about now? Can you hear us?
I can hear you.
Okay, good. All right, so here's the first scenario. This young lady, she works at one of the fast food restaurants. She's 23. She's been, since 18, she's been praying that she can have a brand new car. She works at one of the fast food restaurants, doesn't make that much money. She's even though she's still living at home with her mom, a single mom, and she's helping her mom with the finance around the house, she probably brings in about $250 a week, $1,000 a month. The brand new car that she's looking at is about $600, and that doesn't include insurance. So she's been praying for years that she can get a new car. So now she hasn't gotten that new car with all that she's doing. Is God having her wait, in your opinion, is God having her wait, or is it her, is it on her that she's not in a position to afford a new car?
I'd have to say he has her waiting. I've learned, you know, looking back at my life, I've always wanted more. But then, you know, it wasn't until my mid-20s that I realized that he does provide. And I never worry about tomorrow because tomorrow's always better. So it's just not her time. So she's picking up seasonings in life, and she's going to appreciate it more the day that she can ring in and rein in and get that car. And she may even realize that, well, geez, that car was really out of my limits, and I really don't care for anything like that now. So she, you know, her wants right now may change, but she can keep praying for God, you know, for he does provide what she needs today.
Okay, so let's take the same young lady, and while I've got you here, Darren Dede, same young lady, and she has a friend, same age, that she goes, you know, that she went to high school with, same age. And the friend is even in college, and this young lady is not in college, but her friend's in college and about to graduate, but she never had to even pay for a car. Her parents bought her a car. And this young lady, she looks at, this young lady, she says, doesn't even go to church. She doesn't even think about God when the one who wanted the car has been praying for more than 5 years. So the question becomes, does it seem like it's fair that her friend can get a car that her parents bought her without even working, but yet she's working and helping her mom out with the expenses at home, but she can't even get a brand new car? Is that fair?
Yeah.
Is it fair from God, or is it us?
I think we've all been in her shoes. Not coming up rich myself, you know, everything was not handed to me on a, you know, on a silver spoon of any sort. I would have to say, she will realize in time. Right now, she doesn't feel fair. I mean, I recall driving around in my little jalopy and a nice car roll up next to me, but, you know, of course I want to afford that one, but, in due time, he does provide. I think he allows us to go through hard times to build character. It makes us a little more compassionate, and then we also enjoy life a little more. For those who it just expected to be handed to them, they have no class or anything, but in you know, I think the young lady who's struggling is going to appreciate her life so much better as she does climb the ladder, because she did it herself, you know, and not just handed to her as expected.
All right, we're going to ask you to stand by. Poor Rosette, the same scenario here. Even though, like Darren Dede is saying, the young lady who's struggling may appreciate this more, and you're also saying that I appreciate where I am at this point, you know, and I'm thinking, we didn't have to live in the projects. We didn't have to live in the projects. My mother came from a very elitist family on her side. My grandmother, my grandmother's father gave all of his, he had 11 daughters, and he gave all of them land. And so what happened was, it's just that my grandmother, being part of an elitist family, they did not approve of my father for my mother. They were the kind that, you know, that if they didn't see that you had something to bring to the table, it didn't meet their approval. So her struggle became because she chose to stay with my father and not give him up, which is what my grandmother wanted her to do. And I remember that growing up. And so she made the choice. So as you look at this here, I want, with the same scenario, could it be a choice that this young lady who's working at the fast food restaurant, who's struggling, could she realize that, listen, I mean, she's so young in her mindset now that could she possibly, poet Rosette, possibly be thinking that, you know, this isn't fair. How does she get a car, a brand new car, and I'm out here working hard, helping my mother, doing what I'm thinking is right? I mean, how do you expect her to really appreciate God in terms of, okay, God is having you wait so you can appreciate it later. We don't think like that when we're young. So, Port Rosette, what could you say to that, if anything?
Yeah, what I can say to that is, you know, based on what you're saying, she's doing it for love, too. You know, like you're thinking back on your mother, I believe, had to really love your dad, maybe.
Yeah.
And so she loves her mom, and so she's helping her mom out. And, you know, mutually, you know, they're helping each other out. And so, but, you know, as far as I know, her needs are still being met. Now, she may not have all that she wants yet, but in time that'll come. But, yeah, so she just has to realize that, you know, yeah, it's not always fair. Not everybody the same thing or, you know, has, you know, the exact same thing each time, you know. So, yeah, she'll appreciate it more, even more so. But for now, it may be hard, but she has to remember that. She's doing it because she loves her mom.
All right, we're going to ask you to stand by. We're going to go to the phone lines in just a moment. If you're just joining us, why does God have us wait, or does he? I mean, I want us to really think about this here, because there's some things that we're thinking that God is having us wait when we're really not even doing our part to go after this. We're going to take on another scenario. Go, let's bring in Nelly from all the way from Texas first. Ms. Neela, welcome to tonight's broadcast.
Welcome. Thank you.
Yes. So,
can
Ms.
you
Neela,
hear me?
Yes, we can hear you loud and clear. Do you think that God have us waiting? Do you really think that he has us waiting for things?
Well, I believe that God has a plan for each and every one of us. I remember when I was very, very poor, and but the Lord taught me from this poorness how to care for others and how to wait on the Lord and how to trust God, because there were other young ladies who maybe they have boyfriends and they lived with them and they did everything with them and maybe they became rich, maybe have money. And God said I must wait and I should give my life to him. And so I did. And God has worked out so much for me. Sometimes I have to pinch myself to see if this is Neela James Lewis. So I give God thanks for allowing me to wait, because I know that I can trust God. So that young lady who is helping her mama around is the same way. I didn't even have money to go to an Adventist school. I had to work, put on sequins at night, whatever, and study hard because I was poor. But God brought me through. And every day when I remember how poor I was and God has brought me through, oh, have mercy, I just praise God. I just give him the glory due to his name, because he's a marvelous, infinite, matchless God. Hallelujah.
All right, we're going to ask you to certainly stand by. And, Go Girl, I want to bring you in with another scenario now. You know, tonight's topic, why does God have us wait, or does he? And I'm of the opinion that I believe that there are things that we can do, and we're sitting around waiting for God to do it for us when he has given us the ability to do things for ourselves, and we don't have to wait. He says, I've already given you this. I've already given this to you. And you're still praying, but you're not acting or operating in the line of faith. You're not exercising your faith that you can have it. But faith requires us to do our part. Go, girl, I want you to speak to that. Does it really require us to do our part? Because God's always going to do his part.
Yes, and our part is not as hard as probably some of us are thinking. Our part is really to remain faithful and in prayer. And if we can remain faithful, God will do what we ask him to do. It may not be, and remember, our thoughts are not his thoughts and our ways are not his ways. So by the time we receive what we're asking for, just like the young lady just said, it's so much more than what we could have ever asked for. And we simply need to be patient and wait. Yes, we're doing our part. We're remaining faithful. Yes, we're going our daily, you know, daily doing what we do, and we're praying about it. We are helping those who need help. We are assisting. We are praying for others. We're not just here for ourselves. It's not just about us. So our part is to remain faithful. Our part to be is to be a steward. And in us giving and in us being humble, in us being a person that others will see God or Jesus in, that's the part that we need to do.
Okay, so
we've
asked, while I've got you,
we shall receive.
Okay, so while I've got you here, what about the people who don't even call on God on a daily basis? Another scenario. They don't even call on God on a daily basis. They go to sleep, they wake up, and their lives seem to be so enriched, so enriched. And I know what David said about the Bible, but we're not in it. I don't believe that we as humans are in a position to judge other people. And I know that David said, I've seen the, he didn't think that there were times when things were not fair, but he said, I've been young and I've been old, but never have I seen the righteous forsaken or their seed begging bread. That's what David said. But there was a time when he saw that it seemed like the wicked were prospering when the righteous were not. So, but we can we judge anybody and say, oh, they must be doing something wrong out there because their lives are so enriched. Goger, can we say that about people? But doesn't that make us?
No, we should not judge simply because We're looking at whatever that situation through our eyes. And our perspective is centered around, just like you said, you may have grown up in the projects, or you know of people who have had it easier or harder than yourself. Our perspective is never what we see sometimes. It is what we understand about what we have lived through that takes us to that level of believing that these individuals are just going to bed and waking up rich. Or I read about a 22-year-old here in Fort Lauderdale. She did, you know, she bought a $2 scratch off and won $1 million. And it's like, you know, oh my gosh, you know, this young lady is so young and now here she is with this money. But that blessing, or whether we would have felt it was a blessing, we don't know how the money is going to affect her or those around her. We're hoping that it does some good. We're hoping that the young lady uses her $795,000 in a way that she needs it. But we cannot judge how a person's reaction or what they do and say, oh, you know, this isn't God's blessing, or God isn't blessing them because they didn't pray for it. We're all his children, whether we pray the same, whether we look the same, whether we are the same. It is not for us to decide what a person looks like or what they have as to whether or not they're gaining more than we have.
Wow. Okay, so Go Girl, can you give me the name of that store later so I can go down there and get me one of those scratch-off tickets?
It wasn't a stop and go. I forgot.
You gotta get in the game.
Looking at it, and I said, "Oh boy, someone is thinking about their weekend in a whole different way." The store received $2,000, and I thought the store would have received $10,000. Immediately, that's what I thought. But I can't remember. It was someplace in Fort Lauderdale, but she's a 22-year-old.
Right. So the thing is, I think those stores used to get it 1.5%. But listen, nevertheless,
oh, okay.
I mean, you know, so we can't judge her to say, wow, 100,000 people put in all this money to make the pot up to $1 million, and then she puts in $2 and gets a scratch off and wins everybody's money. So, so then where did that blessing come from? Did it come from God? And some people would say the devil blessed her. That's what some people would say.
No.
So where
that's because that person perhaps does not believe in lottery, or they believe that it's gambling, and that form of, you know, thinking will lead you to say it couldn't be from God. But, you know, I remember listening to James Dobson. He used to have this little show like this. And this lady got on there, she was talking about her baby was born. She said God doesn't deliver every package perfect, or every package is not perfect. So whether the gift was perfect or not, or whether it is supposedly from God or not, depending on who's watching, it is whatever God allows us to have should be a blessing. And it's how we use it so that that blessing will continue. A blessing is not just one little dot at the end of the sentence. It continues. And if we don't use it that way as a steward, then it no longer will be a blessing. So I can't say, oh, you know, God dealt her this hand. But whatever we have, rich, poor, sinner, whatever, you should be using it to help not just yourself but others. And if you don't, that's why we see so many people that win the lottery and they eventually they're miserable and they don't have the money anymore.
Okay, we're going to certainly ask you to stand by. You know, having grown up poor like I did and that lifestyle, I said earlier, I think it may have made me the person that I am today. There's no crystal ball that we can look at and know that I would have had a better life, you know, had I grown up in a different area. But the fact of the matter is, what it does, it keeps me humble. And all that I've, as God blesses me through sponsorships with these programs where people are taking out subscriptions like many of you all have done, then my whole pact with God is I will take out of my pocket, as people subscribe, I will take out of my pocket and give 75% to start programs out there. 75% of whatever God blesses me with will go back into starting up programs. And that's because of the way that I grew up. I knew that we didn't have. I know what it's like to have one pair of shoes. I know what it's like to get peanut butter from the welfare. And then my sister, I don't know what she was thinking about, but she would put, we get it once a month in a big can, and she put it in the refrigerator. And everybody knows, you know, when that can, you don't put that can of peanut butter in the refrigerator. Let me see if anybody knows what I'm talking about. Poor Rosette, let me bring you in here. What would happen to the peanut butter if it's in a can? It's a big can of peanut butter. You get it once a month. So poor people eat a lot of peanut butter and jelly. What happens to the peanut butter if you put it in the refrigerator?
I have to pass on that question. I don't know.
See, growing up with a silver spoon, okay. Darren Dee, let me bring
parents,
you in here.
My parents, yeah, because my parents only had two kids and both of them worked. I don't know.
Okay. So there were nine of us. Darren Dee, let me bring you in here. What happens to peanut butter if you put it in the refrigerator?
It's going to get hard.
That's exactly what happened. That's exactly what happened. So my sister, in her wisdom, putting the peanut butter in the refrigerator, and then when we coming home, everybody's fussing at her like, who put the peanut butter in the refrigerator? Why would you put the peanut butter? We're not going to get peanut butter again. You know, you take a metal spoon and you're trying to dig out this peanut butter, and it's just like you break the metal spoon. And so I remember those days. Now we got to wait another month to get another can of peanut butter. So we had to throw that out. It wasn't like you could sit it out and it thaw out. But that peanut butter, that was like, oh, my goodness, why would she put that? And then she didn't do it just one time. Sometimes I just don't think she was thinking. And then it would come again, and everybody telling her, don't put the peanut butter in the refrigerator. And somehow or other, she put it in the refrigerator again. And anyway, I still love her, though. But anyway, here's another scenario. And I want to bring in Ms. Neela. I want to bring you in here on this one here. And the question becomes, here's the situation. There's a man looking for a job to take care of his family. Well, he says he's looking for a job. He lost his job. He's got a wife and two kids. And the wife is in, she's working, and she insists he goes out and look for a job. He says, I'm praying that God will ring that phone and I will get the job, the dream job. But he's not going out looking. Is God having him wait, Sister Neela?
Well, the Lord said a lazy person should not eat. And it seems as if that's what the Bible says. I don't even remember where it's taken from, but it's there in the Bible.
Yeah, slothful man, I know it.
This gentleman seems as if he's lazy. And because
right.
if he wants a job, he has to put in his resume. He may have to visit some places, you know, face-to-face, do that and find himself a job. He can at least just sitting down waiting for the Lord to put something in his hand. He need to go out and work because he's the man of the house, and the family is looking to him to be the head of the home and to be the provider, you know.
So, go ahead, Sister Neela. Go ahead. I'm sorry to interrupt you. Go ahead. Finish your thought, please.
I'm saying maybe why he sits at home is because his wife is out there working while he sits at home watching TV. Nothing goes like that. He's the man of the house. He's the head. He's the priest. He's everything. So he needs to go and provide for his family and let his wife come home and look after the kids.
Okay, so when she comes home, he's expecting, he's been sitting there, just like you're saying, watching TV all day. And he claims that he's made a couple of calls, but she knows he hasn't done anything, and yet he's waiting for her to come and prepare a meal. So the question is, Sister Neela, I'm asking this question, is God having him wait?
No. He's the one.
Okay, so then you would say there are times when God does not have us wait when we are thinking that God is having us wait. Is that fair to say?
True, that's true. We just lazy and want to sit back and say, I'm waiting on God. God knows that you're lazy. Get up, do something, find how we can make it. As I said, I was a little girl wanting to go to the church school, but my mom had to stop working because she fell down and broke her knee. And I didn't have it, so I started putting on sequins, and for the lady from America, Mrs. Jennings, who had her beachcomb shop, and she said, oh, yes, you can do that. And so I did that at night when I go to school and left the public school and went to church school, paid my way through, praise God. That I think it was 4 shillings a month or a week, I don't know, but I was able to pay my way. I didn't sit back and say, well, my mama can't send me, my father can't, so I'm going to sit back. I worked from I was 12 years old.
All right. So in other words, you exercise your faith. You exercise your faith, with your works with faith. Is that what I'm hearing you say?
Oh, yes. Faith without work is dead.
Dead, absolutely. We're going to ask you to stand by. Darren Deedy, let me bring you in here, and we're going to go to phone line. Marva, we appreciate you being on the line. Thank you for your patience. Darren Deedy, just before we go to Marva, let me ask you along the same lines of this scenario with the man sitting home, and he says, here, I'm waiting for God to let that phone ring because it says, all things are, with God, all things are possible. So he says, God will let that phone ring, and somebody's going to give me the ideal job. While his wife's out there working hard to try to provide for that family. And when she comes home and she's getting on his case, he's thinking that she's nagging. Darren Deedy, is there any to that? Give me your thoughts on that.
I have to agree that he's being a bit lazy. I think he needs to be a little more aggressive. The phone will ring, but it takes part on, we just can't put all our hopes on our dreams to come true by just praying for them. You've got to set yourself up. He's going to get out there, hit the pavement. Even if he has to get a part-time job until that full-time one lands in, he needs to do something to provide for his family. I'm not going to say the Lord will enrich those who are lazy, He knows when you're working hard. You know, you know, I left home when I was 16, and I never went back, and I'm doing just fine today. But dropped out of school. I went back, you know, 10 years later. I did graduate. I ended up going to college. And it's just the opportunity came at the time. I had to, you know, quit school and help my father pay the bills, you know. So it wasn't like, you know, I could just sit here and maybe the most wonderful job will come along. I had to do this, that, and the other, you know, until I got where I'm at today, you know, which I feel happy and blessed. And, you know, it's not like I'm well-to-do, but I'm very happy, and I feel blessed.
Okay, so Darren Deedy, if I'm hearing you say, so you two would say God is not always having us wait when we could do something for ourselves. Is that fair to say?
Absolutely. Absolutely. But he does reward those who do continue to pray, and my prayers do get answered in due time, not, you know, automatically. But I feel completely blessed today, you know. So I still, we all have wants and needs, you know, throughout, you know, life. That'll always happen. But we just have to wait patiently on the Lord, and he does provide. But it does, you do have to get out there and hit the pavement. Oh, there's a light, there's a world out there that you have to participate in.
I love what all of you all are saying tonight. And so we're coming to realize that the question is, why does God have us wait, or does he? And so I believe we're starting to see God doesn't always have us wait. We ourselves are waiting for the very thing that he's already blessed us with, but we're not exercising, we're not putting our works to that. Marva, we want to bring you in. Thank you for your patience. Marv, I want to bring you in here and ask you, do you think God has us waiting? Or is it we ourselves sometimes, we blame God. We say, well, I'm waiting on God. I'm waiting on God. And that woman, but he sees her as nagging. Marv, how do you see that?
I see that, yes, indeed, he has to do something in order to reap what he is looking for. In the Bible, it says always in the fullness of time, even with when Jesus came, it said in the fullness of time. So that means someone was waiting. They were waiting for the Messiah. We have to wait. If you plant a tomato seed today, you have to wait for it a month from now to get fruit. So yes, waiting. And in Isaiah, it also has a really nice scripture that says, they that wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up on wings.
That's my favorite
on
scripture.
Wings
one of my,
as eagles. Yes.
Yes. That's one of
and
my favorite
run,
ones.
And they
my
shall,
favorite.
Really? Very good.
Yes.
They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. So, yes, we need to wait, but in the meantime, we need to do something. And like Sarah and Abraham, when God promised them their son Isaac, it took 25 years. And when they saw 10 years pass and nothing happened, he went and had a baby with the maid. And it caused
right.
such a
Sarah
ruckus
gave him
in
permission
their family.
To do that.
Yes, they should have
mm-hmm.
just waited. So
right.
there's nothing wrong with waiting. And in
right.
the beginning,
and later
you were talking about this young lady. I'm sorry, Dr. Walker.
That's all right. I'm sorry.
The young lady that was wanting the young lady that wanted the car.
Yeah.
And she's working at the fast food restaurant for $13 or $12 an hour. Does she realize that you have to buy gas, you have to do maintenance, you have to register the car, you have to get you know, it's not just having a car, you know. So,
right.
yes, indeed. It depends
right,
on where we are. Yes.
All right, we're almost out of time, you all. We're gonna speed up things just a little bit because we still got a lot to cover with several more scenarios that we have. So as we look at this here, Fort Rosette, I want to bring you in here, and we're looking at another scenario, and I want to give you this one and a couple of others. But Fort Rosette, let me begin by asking you, based on what you're hearing on the show tonight, would you say that there are times when God does not have us wait, but it's on us? Yes or no?
Yes.
I think it's on us at times.
Okay, all right. So here's another scenario. Here's another scenario. A woman says she's been praying for 8 years for a husband. For a husband. For 8 years. Okay, so Portrait, I want to bring that one to you. So for 8 years, basically she goes to one church, right? She attends her church every week instead of maybe visiting some other churches because obviously she wants a church man. So is that God that's making her wait or is she making herself wait by not getting out there? Like Darren Deedy says, there's a world that we have to become a part of, participate in. So what do you think, Port Rosette?
Yeah, I feel like it could be a combination going on, but I feel that she's making herself wait if she's only going to her church, because there is a Bible verse that says, seek and you will find, knock and the door will be open. And so, of course, you know, like you said, she can go to different social outings. She can, you know, maybe ask family or friends if they know someone. And even nowadays, as far as, you know, dating online, but she has to put herself out there in some form or fashion, you know, and actually look if that's, you know, her desire. Because I heard something one time where somebody was saying that that they were waiting for somebody, but then that means like the only person you would really get maybe is if a UPS guy or somebody knocks on the door.
Yeah, exactly.
Like,
I mean, and I know you're not putting down the UPS.
No,
drivers,
I'm not knocking it, but I'm saying if you're saying that the person has to knock on your door, you know, versus
right. You,
you know, doing some other things too, then you would be limiting yourself.
Right. And we're going to ask you to stand by. I want to bring in Go Girl with the same scenario here. And I want, while you're on that, I want to present something to you all. I mean, there's a lot of stuff. That's why these stories that we provide in the sponsorship, those stories are all inspired by true stories. Names, of course, are changed to protect the innocent. But I know of several stories where because this woman was waiting on God to send her a man at her church without attending other churches and making it known that she was available. And I know the Bible says the man that findeth a wife findeth a good thing. So a lot of women will say, well, I'm waiting on the man to find me. But you're not availing yourself out there for the man to find you. So here's a situation where this particular incident took place where this woman was waiting to meet this man at the church that a student told her about that was his teacher. And so while the woman is waiting, she had been waiting at her church, and just so happened the teacher showed up one day, and the young man saw him. The student saw him. And so then there was another lady that was working the cameras at the church, saw this man come in, and she asked the student, she knew the student, she said, well, who is that? He said, that's my teacher. That woman went there and intercepted that man. She didn't know why he was there, but she saw what she liked. He was tall and handsome, and she saw that, and she just got to meet him. Listen to this. Within 2 years, him and that lady were married. They were married. And it's been now over 15 years, and they're still together. And so I'm saying that to say this here. So sometimes, and that was his first time coming to that church. So the other lady who was waiting, you know, it wasn't until sometime later, and the woman who intercepted didn't realize that he was there to see her friend, but now did her friend, go girl, did her friend miss out, perhaps, because she was waiting on God? Or this other woman was so aggressive that she availed herself, and there it goes. Go, girl. Speak to that.
You know what? I cannot say that she missed out. That individual, even though the young man thought that they would make probably a great couple, that was not the person that she was supposed to meet. Even if she had extended herself to him, and I think the person who is looking, the young lady, probably needs a little coaching. And when I say coaching, she's probably not as social as she thinks she is. And she's not as savvy in terms of, you know, knowing how to approach a man. And that doesn't mean that a man might not see you and approach you. But if you made it known and it's open to everyone, also sometimes people kind of look at you as though, you know, you might be desperate to do something. I don't know. Maybe she's just the personality is not extending to the men that she particularly are interested in, and she might need to change the way she does some things. She may not even be aware that she's not doing that, and so even though she's out there trying to introduce herself, she just may not come across to those individuals that she likes, because what you're looking for, you need to also be that, because your personality is also a driver of what you're looking for.
All right. We're going to certainly ask you to stand by. Thank you for sharing that with us. Now, in a case like that, Go Girl, before you go with us, let me just ask you this here. Could it have been that the lady who was waiting for the man, you know, to come through, could it be that she was, while she's waiting on God, somebody else came in who made themselves available and said, well, God has given me life. Let me present myself with an introduction. What do you think?
Yeah, again, like I said, sometimes I think it's the person that they're looking for. They have this idea in their head, and so somebody else might not fit that mold, but at the same time, you have to look within yourself as to what you are projecting to someone else, because the person just may not see you as the material or the type of woman that they're looking for, and you might just be looking for a certain type of man. I'm not saying that you don't want someone that's involved in the church and someone that's a Christian or spiritual, but maybe it's just the way you carry yourself, and you have to look in places where, you know, if you sit home all day, you may go into Home Depot and miss every man in there. You know what I'm saying? Because you're looking only in church. So
okay. We're going to ask you to stand by. All right, let's go to, we got another scenario. We're almost out of time. Darren Didi, we're going to start you out with this one here. Here's a lady with three kids, two boys that are teenagers, and one daughter that's 10. The boys are teenagers. She's been praying for 4 years to get out of a drug-infested community. Is she waiting on God? Or, I mean, the woman works. And, of course, she's not making as much money. She's living in low-income housing. But is she waiting on God? She's been praying 4 years. And in that community, they got drive-by shootings. So now, is she waiting on God for deliverance? Or is she waiting on, or what is she waiting on?
That's a good question. Of course, you can pray and pray all you want, but to live in that kind of environment, I would have to jump the tracks and get to the other side, even if she had to, mow lawns on the weekend and make ends meet or something. I would definitely, I think she's waiting on, she needs to get out there and do something more, or not to sound shallow, maybe she does need to find a man, you know, take on a roommate or something, somebody to help her pay the bills, you know. So.
But the goal is to get out. We're going to ask you to stand by. Let me bring in, Port Rosette. Port Rosette, real quickly here, because we're almost out of time. That same scenario. She's got two teenage boys, one daughter that's 10, And she's been praying for 4 years to get out of that drug-infested community. Is she waiting on God? Is God having her wait? Seriously? Seriously? When her kids could become victim of a drive-by? Is God having her wait for it, Rosette?
No, I think she may be stuck, but it's not God. And so, like Darren Deedy was saying, even a girlfriend that she has, they may be able to rent something together on another side of town, or she may be able to rent two rooms from someone who has maybe a four-bedroom and isn't using all of them. But there is a way to escape and get out of that, but she got to pray for God to help her to find the way out. Because there is a way out of it.
Well, she's been praying for 4 years. And so, see, and my point is,
she
got to
start exercising her faith and actually start looking for another place to stay.
Yes, yes. And listen to this here now. And my message to her, move on faith. Just pack up your stuff one day and just say, I'm moving. I'm leaving here. I'm not paying this here next month. I'm leaving. Even if you've got to go to a shelter, because this is a very deep, most, all of these scenarios are based on true events. Recently, I met a woman who this was her story. She said it was so bad in Chicago, in the area where she lived, and she knew she had two teenage sons. That lady said, listen, I prayed, and I said, as long as God give me strength and the ability to work, I'm moving. And that woman moved from Chicago to Florida, to a part of Florida, North Florida. And she said, because I could not take it staying around and something happened to my boy, because the gangs were out of control. And she said she just moved on faith. So see, while we're waiting, and this woman didn't pray for 4 years. That woman woke up one day and she said, nope, I'm not doing it. She says, I'm praying that God allows me to continue to work and be able to do something. And as long as I can work, then I'm getting out of here. And she packed up and she left. That's putting your works with your faith. And Sister Neela, I want to bring you in here for 30 seconds or less. What do you say about something like that? Moving on faith. And that's part of everything that we do. Sister Neela, quickly, please.
Yes, it's important to have faith in God and move before they kill you and your children. Have faith in God and maybe take on a second job or something. Go back to school and get something quick and get a little more money and find your way around and just pray. Have faith. We must have faith in God.
Right. So, Sister Neela, would you say then that when people are waiting on God, God is not having them wait. Yes or no?
No. God is not having them wait. They need to move by faith and trust in God and do something with their hands and their minds and their heart and everything. They must believe that God is and that he's a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Get up and do something.
All right.
Whatever you need to do, but do something and get out of there.
All right, we're almost out of time. We're down to 60 seconds, you all, and just I'm going to throw this one out here, this last scenario, and we're going to give this one here to Port Rosette real quickly here. The boy wanted a scooter. He was only 11 years of age. He wanted a scooter. Protesting to his mother, he wanted a scooter. Well, the parents were separated. The mother saw the danger in these little. It's a little motorbike that the kids get, look like they're sitting on something, and the mother saw the danger in that. She insisted that she did not want him to have that. Well, when he got over to the father's house, the father overruled her and said, I want him to have it. So the parents argued about this, and we're closing here tonight, you all. I'm giving the final thought. The father wanted him to have it. The mother says, no. The mother was a custodial parent. But the father says, no, I'm going to get that for the child. She pleaded with the father not to get it. And then finally he kept insisting, so the mother gave in, even though they were separate, divorced. The mother gave in. Within 3 months, that boy, once he got it for Christmas, by January, he was coming back to school. This young man had lost a leg because he got hit going up under an 18-wheeler truck. And when he came out of there, a car hit him, and it caused him to lose one of his legs. See, the mother saw the danger. So I want to close tonight by telling you all that even if it's God who's having us wait, it's because God, in his omniscience, he knows the beginning, the end, the middle, all of that. But oftentimes we're waiting when God is not having us waiting. But see, just like that mother, God knows the danger ahead. So if it's something that God, we have been designed from God, and we know that it's God, we're not getting it because God knows the danger, and if we had it. And so all things work together for the good of those who love the Lord, and we must trust God where we can't trace him. We must believe in him without a shadow of a doubt, because we have to know that he's in charge of it all. It's his world. Listen, we're completely out of time. I want to thank all of you all for joining us this evening. Please join us here next Thursday for the Dr. Ishwak Show. If you choose to bypass that, we'll be back here next Friday for a show. I want to be able to give you the topic. We got a show next Thursday, next Friday. Oh, you don't want to miss those. You do not want to miss next Thursday show or next Friday show. And then, of course, we'll also be back here next Saturday morning for our, I believe that's our miracle prayer day. So you don't want to miss out on this, you all. So until next Thursday or next Friday or until next Saturday, I want to say to my listening audience around the world, good night, God bless, and thank you, God. Good night, everybody.
Good night.
Good night.
Have a blessed night. Have a blessed night.
Everyone, take care. Keep safe and keep well, everyone. Bye.
Mm-hmm. Enjoy the Sabbath.
Yeah. Bye.